Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
It's all about, right? Are you with me? Isn't that what Christmas is all about? So I want to talk about some things surrounding the birth of Christ, but I believe there's some effect from the birth of Christ and some of the things we can pull out of that story that still are active in our lives today, and that's what my goal is today. Father, I pray that you would bless the word that's going forth. We thank you that we get to celebrate Christmas. Thank you for this wonderful presentation from every artist, and we just thank you for your presence here in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to come out of Matthew chapter 1 and read three verses to you there, and it says this, or several verses, actually five verses. Now, the birth of Jesus was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Take Mary as your wife. And he said, cool. No, I'm just kidding, but I'm never going to forget that. You know, the girl says all kinds of stuff and asks questions, and the guy just goes, cool. Anyway, that was free. That was my commentary in there. Just saying. And which was conceived of the Holy Spirit. She will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And I just want to focus in on that little passage a little bit. And the first thing I want to bring to you is, number one, is that the birth began by a breath. The birth began by a breath. Matthew 1:18, it tells us she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And I know, you know, even as they're saying, what, you know, how, and question. Of course there's a question. This whole thing is miraculous. And when something's miraculous, it doesn't make sense in the natural. And she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And people are like, well, how'd that happen? You know, the Holy Spirit can be translated also where it says spirit in that ruach, it can be translated sacred breath. So God's sacred breath breathes and she conceives. Isn't that amazing? I mean, it had to be because basically Jesus had to come from the seed of God, not the seed of man, or he couldn't have come and been the spotless lamb. He couldn't have been the sinless, spotless lamb to go to the cross for us, for you and for me. She was found with a child by the sacred breath of God. I think that's just beautiful. Mary was pregnant by the breath and the glory of God. God breathed life. And that at that point of conception, this is where life started. We all believe that, right? I hope I'm in the right church, that you believe life starts in the womb. Three people said that's right. I said life starts in the womb. Right? It starts there. And I just believe that that breath God put in motion and that life that he put in motion is still in motion. And we can pull something out of that today. Ezekiel 37:5, he talks to the prophet and he says, can these bones live? And he says, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. God's breath brings life. Luke, when he writes the account of Gabriel's announcement to Mary in Luke chapter 1, Gabriel's bringing this heavenly message of the Messiah's birth. I think it's interesting, it's a side note, you know, that Gabriel, he comes and he brings this, but he spoke actually 400 years before to Zechariah, then there's 400 years of silence, then he comes to John the Baptist's dad, so he comes to another Zechariah, and then he speaks, so there's speaks to one Zechariah, there's 400 years of silence, he speaks to another one, he announces it, now he comes to Mary, but I thought it was interesting that Zechariah starts to question him and he gets silenced. Is there someone in the house? There's already 400 years of silence. He speaks to him. He questions, question, and he's like, silent. So he silences unbelief until we can speak in faith. And we need the people who are not speaking unbelief, but we're speaking in faith. That was free. Back to the story. So Mary, Gabriel comes to Mary. So you see Gabriel back with Zacharias. He sees Gabriel come to John the Baptist, his father. Then he comes here in this situation, and he speaks. And she says, how can this be since I do not know a man or I've not had relations with a man? She was engaged, but she wasn't married yet. And the angel answers and he says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the highest will overshadow you. And I thought, what a beautiful picture of God breathed, God overshadowed. And I love the Passion Translation on this one. Gabriel answered, "The Spirit of holiness will fall upon you, and Almighty God will spread his shadow of power over you in a cloud of glory." Have you ever seen a glory cloud? Have you ever seen a physical cloud of glory? It's an amazing thing. It really is. They've seen them. They've been here in the sanctuary. I've seen them probably more here than anywhere. But, you know, we've seen them in our living room. We've seen the glory of God physically manifest. You know, it's beautiful. It's a wonderful thing. One time we were worshiping in our house. I think Pastor Andrew was leading. And I saw this glory. It looked like smoke through the whole house. And I thought, my smoker's still cooking and the salmon's burning, or you know what I mean? You know, you go natural and I'm like, no, it's off. There's nothing burning. And then I shut my eyes and I open them in the glory. And it's like it lifted when I start to doubt instead of just enjoying the glory of God. And then I shut my eyes and start worshiping. And Teresa goes, "Daniel, do you see that?" And I open my eyes and I don't see it, but she's seeing it. Now, what's the point? I don't know. And who can explain a glory cloud? All I know is that the glory of God is real and it manifests. It's as real as he is. And the glory overshadowed her. And I just believe that Shekinah glory that was there in Genesis in the garden came over her and brought life again. And I think it was a prophetic sign of what was lost in the garden was breathed out right there at that point. And that's a whole nother sermon. So we'll go back to the message of Christmas today. And the glory cloud, oh my goodness. And, you know, and then I think about the place. The place is important. You know, the name is important. The place is important. And in this place, it says in Matthew 2:1, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. So last week, Taylor was sharing in communion. He was sharing how Bethlehem means house of bread. And that's wonderful, because what a picture that Jesus was the bread of life. And we understand that Jesus was the bread of life. And that on the cross, that he died to give life to everyone. And Jesus, he prophesied on that. And he told us. And what a beautiful picture that even at his birth is prophesying of his death. That Jesus was born to die. See, if we miss that, we're no different than the world. We just talk about Christmas as a celebration of a baby that was born. But Christmas is not only a celebration of a baby who was born, but a baby who was born who was destined to die so we could have life. There was a life birth that was destined for death so that we could all live. And yes, he was the bread, and I thought that was wonderful, but you know there's another meaning too. It also, if you look at the meaning of Bethlehem, it also means... It means house of fighters. So Jesus was not only born in the house of bread, he was born in the house of fighters. And you're like, what? How does that fit? City of David, Bethlehem. Come on, David was one of the greatest fighters in the Bible. Is there anyone who can amen me on that one? Children's Church, you know about David, right? You know about David taking out Goliath? David was a fighter. David took out armies. He took out Goliath. David was a powerful fighter. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. I think there was like two messages going out there. Jesus was born to die for us, and it pointed, but we also see another message there. You know, the wise men followed a star and to find this Messiah, and the Messiah was prophesied that he would come out of Bethlehem. And when they did, they gave gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And like you said, Oliver, what is that stuff? Huh, what is myrrh? Well, let me tell you, Oliver, thank you for asking for everyone in the room today. Myrrh was pointing to the greatest act of God's love, that his child would be born, but that he was destined to die. You see, gold was a prophetic sign of his deity. Frankincense was a prophetic sign of the life of his holiness. But myrrh was a prophetic sign given to point towards his death, because myrrh was actually used in the embalming process when somebody died. Are you here? Yes, it was very expensive. Yes, they used it like an incense and all that. There was probably crates of it. They brought a whole caravan. And like I said, there was this huge gift that they brought him. It was rare, and they had to bring it in. But God was prophesying. He was speaking. He was sending a message even to us in that day. And when you think about it, he wrote a love story to us, right? It's a love story. Is anybody here? Yes. Don't check out on me. But was it a tragic love story where he just dies and that's it? It was so tragic. One time, these guys with white shirts came to my door and they were trying to witness to me, and I was witnessing to them, and basically maybe you get the whole picture. But they were I talked about the cross, and they said the cross is like putting a weapon on your mantle and honoring the weapon. I said, you don't understand the cross. About make me want to just break my heart. That all you know of the cross is a weapon that killed Christ. The cross didn't kill Christ. Just like Christmas isn't just a story of his birth or just of his death, but there's life on the other side. Come on, somebody. We got to understand that it was a love story, but it had a heroic ending. God wrote a love story, and it was beautiful. And as I said, one meaning was he was born of the house of bread to give life to everyone, sustenance to all of us, something that we get every day, the source that sustains us. It's the source that gives us strength and life. But that second meaning was he was born of the house of fighters, and fight he did. He went and he faced death. He went and died on the cross, and he was crucified, and he went down into hell. And the devil thought he had him. Death thought they had Jesus. They thought they had him there at that point. They thought if we just can crucify him, then we have him. This is over, this Son of God and all that's being released. Had no clue that he conquered sin and death. It was like the upset. Now in heaven, they knew the story. In hell, there was a huge upset. It was like not just the fight. It was the fight of the millennials. It was amazing. He's a fighter, and he went and he fought death. And death couldn't hold him. And death thought that they had him. But they didn't understand that he wasn't just born of Joseph and Mary. He was born of God. What was he born? He was born because his birth started with the breath of God. And God breathed. And that was a seed of God in her womb. Not of man. And that's how he was birthed, this sinless man who could walk on this earth and live a sinless life and go as that lamb, even as that symbolic, that swaddling clothes they wrapped, that Passover lamb, in the same way that it prophesied of his death and of his life. Amazing. So Gabriel tells Joseph, his name is Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And we joke around, I know, saying Joseph just said, cool. Save us from what? What does, if we don't identify what the target is, if we don't identify the mark, we'll leave here and we won't even know the mission. What is the mark? Humanity, he'll save us from sin. Say sin. Sin. And people they out there, they're still sinners. I don't come in and say, hi, I'm Daniel, I'm a sinner. No, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm not going to confess I'm a sinner. Saved by grace. I've been saved by the blood of Jesus and transformed. I'm now the righteousness of God in Christ, and so are you. But the world has a problem. It's a sin problem. And the sin has to be addressed, and we can't just blow it off and make it lighter. We won't even know what the target is. He will save his people from their sins. He will save them. Humanity needs a savior. Humanity needs to be rescued. See, sin is what binds them, and sin is what brings them to that point where they go to hell and live a life of torment. Sin. You say, well, sin. Say sin. Sin. See, everybody's afraid to even say hell. They're like, oh, no, everybody, God just loves all people, and they won't. He has provided a way for all of humanity to be saved. He sent his son. That's the loving God. You can't get any more love than that. I have three sons. I can't imagine giving up one of my sons. God gave his son. That's the greatest love. You can't flip that on him and say, well, if he's loving, then he would never send anyone. He doesn't send anyone. He gave us a free pass. We reject his pass, and we go to hell if we reject the forgiveness that's found in Christ. And if we live a life and we embrace sin, humanity needs to be rescued. And all humanity is in a battle for eternity. We don't just need the bread of life. We need the one who's born of the house of fighters. We need the one who battled sin and death for us. It's not by us striving. It's not by us and our works that we get saved. It's by what he did. He fought sin. He fought death. He conquered it once and for all. But we have to receive what he did. John the Baptist came preaching. Amazing. He came preaching in the wilderness. It's amazing if you've been to Israel. We got a chance to go to Israel and just to see that whole place in the area where the Dead Sea Scrolls, and they believe John was in that group of people before he went, and you just see that whole dynamic of what God was doing. He was preaching, and when he was preaching, what did he say? He came out preaching, repent. You know, and we can just say, well, repent, and it's not just simply to change your mind. Some people say, well, repent is just to change your thinking. That's a part of it, but that's not as simple as it is. See, we can make repentance so passive that people don't even understand how to forsake sin. Because repentance, and it means, look in the Hebrew, look in the Aramaic, it's the same thing. It doesn't just mean change your mind. It actually means return to God. Repent means return to God. Say, return to God.
Return to God.
To return to God, you have to forsake sin. Yeah. You can't return to God and take sin with you. So you can't just go, well, I'm born again, but I just get to take all these sins because the grace of God covers it. So you're going to take your sin into the presence of God? Repentance has a forsaking. We forsake sin and we pursue God. And so we say, well, there's going to be an altar call. This is the Christmas and the Easter thing. Of course, they're going to do it. They're going to try to get me. The devil's the one who tries to get you. God's been hard. He's been calling you. He's calling and beckoning for people to forsake sin and to pursue God. And it's not just those who will say a prayer. It's those who will get it and click and say, I will forsake those sins and I will press in to pursue God. I don't care if you prayed 1,000 altar prayers. Will you forsake sin and repent? And will you pursue God? The fruit of repentance is a life pursuing God, not pursuing sin. So if you say a prayer and you still pursue sin, you didn't really repent. Because part of that is pursuing God. So bear the fruits of repentance. You say, man, I'm not feeling good. I don't like this Christmas presentation. I was feeling good. Don't talk about sin. Well, let's just rip the page out of the Bible and just not even declare what he really did and why it was all about. But God loves us so much. It's his kindness that leads us to repentance. But we have to know, what is repentance? A Savior was born. That means we needed to be saved. We have to recognize our need for a Savior. And he didn't stay a child. And so the third point is that he was born to be victorious. And it says in Matthew 2:23, he came to dwell in that city called Nazareth. Say Nazareth. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets. He shall be called a Nazarene. Say Nazarene. So wait, he was born in Bethlehem, the house of bread, the house of a fighter. So he was born in the house of a fighter. Say house of a fighter. Born in the house of bread. Say house of bread. But he was raised in Nazareth. And Nazareth, it means branch, which you can see the whole teaching of branch all the way from the beginning, from the tree of life, all the way to the end, to the revelation, to the tree of life. You can see it in the branch. You can see it in the seven branches of the menorah. You can see the branch. God is the vine and we are the what? God is in us, Emmanuel, and we stay connected. So you can see that teaching through. But there's something even greater, or not greater, but there's another meaning as well for Nazareth. Nazareth, if you break that word down, it also means, it means victorious one. Two people are getting this and the rest are catching it. But so he was born in the house of fighters, but he was raised a victorious one. He wasn't just born to fight, he was born to win. You're born again by what he did, but then we get raised to be victorious. Not to start out and have a prayer and then just fade away from God. We're to start out and finish. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. We finish what we started. We start by, we're born again. But every day we get sanctified. Every day we continue. Every day we fight. Every day we stand and we keep standing. We don't know what else to do. We just keep standing. And you stand with God and for God because he was born in the house of fighters. But he was born to be victorious. That's our God. This is a champion born in the house of fighters. He conquered sin and death. He's calling us into relationship, a loving relationship with him. He's calling us to return to God and forsake sins. He's calling us to be victorious over all our sins. He's calling us, the blood of Jesus cleanses and covers all our sins. Every day we can go into the presence of God and find new grace and new mercy. But he's calling us to live a life and to be victorious. He's calling us to conquer it, not to revisit it every day. He's not calling us to be in the desert and to keep going back and keep going back. He's calling us to be victorious. And there is a place of victory. He's calling us to be the prophetic ones who will call the world out from being dry bones, to release life and to speak this prophetic message that shifts people from death to life. He's calling us to be these prophetic ones, these victorious ones who will come and you say, well, you know, I don't know. I was just born in like Gideon's house. I was the least. I was from the tribe of Manasseh. I was the least in my house. No, he transforms us because now the victorious one is in us. He's in us. He's Emmanuel, God in us, God with us. And our victory, we get to stand in his victory. His victory is our victory. And even from his birth, when God breathed that breath, even when you're born again, there's life that comes into you. By the Spirit of God, you're born again. And that's why I was saying, even that picture when God breathed, that ruach, when he breathed, and Mary had the child inside. You're born again, and by the breath of God, you're born again by that Spirit. You're born of the Spirit. And now you get to live in the shadow of that champion. You get to ride in on his victory. He created us to be champions. He created us to affect all those around us. I'm just giving you a pregame little warm-up. Let's click our helmets together. Let's just beat our shields. Ladies are going, come on. The guys are getting excited. And I'm just like, what are you talking about? Come on now. I got some warriors out here. Ladies, get your swords. You are victorious. You are warriors. You are the ones. You bring life. Hello. We get to represent him. Wow. To be the champions he created us to be. And I love this, and I'll land this thing. Romans 8:37, he said, yes, and all these things were more than conquerors through him who loved us. So if you're feeling less than a conqueror today, just tap into him and say, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. If the devil's whispering in your ear, you're not doing so good, just say, well, he did really good. And you're not looking so good, say, but Christ is in me, and I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Say, but I know what you've done. You say, well, I know what he's done. You say, but you're looking like you got one knee to the ground, and you're about this close to going down. You say, I'm about this close to rising up. We need to flip it and turn it and change it. Our Christmas story is not about a God who was born and a baby that went to a cross and it ends there. That child that was destined for death was destined that his death would bring life to all of us. So that God's breath, his ruach, his wind would not just go into conceive just on with Christ. That was the beginning of our salvation. He is our Savior. But now Jesus went to the throne and he was seated at the right hand of God, knowing that now God's Holy Spirit could go out to all believers. And he knew that as I sit on the throne, and now, and you say, well, that's amazing. He's still fighting for you. He's still ever making intercession. He's still, every time you entered a battle, he's with you. Your God is with you. So I just say, be encouraged today. And he said, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, I don't know what you're facing. I don't know. Some people say Christmas is the most beautiful time of the year. And some people are like, it's the most depressed season ever. And if you can't relate, just open your eyes. Because some people aren't as happy at Christmas because they go through stuff. They have conflict with family. They have conflict with finance. They have conflict. So let's be sensitive to those around us. But let's also be sensitive to what the Word of God says. And Paul wrote this to them, inspired by God. He said, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, I don't care, neither death nor life, nor angels or principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Somebody get happy right there. And I want to ask you, are you persuaded? I want to ask you, if you let his sacred breath, would you just stand with me today? Would you stand for a moment? Are you persuaded? Will you let his breath come in? Will you let his sacred breath? Will you let his Holy Spirit come and fill you with strength? Will you allow him to just wash you of all and whatever that mentality that says you're less than a conqueror, whatever that mentality that's tried to put you down and say, you're going to creep into heaven. You're barely going to get in just based on something. No way. You are a child of God. You were destined to be a champion, more than conquerors. And no sin, there is no sin that can separate us from the love of our Father. He's called us to be born again. He's called us so that he could breathe his breath on us. He's called us to stand and fight for what's right on this earth. He's called us to be champions for him, to stand in the victory, to declare life to those around us. And I just ask right now where you're standing, if you'll just bow your heads. Will you bow and acknowledge that sacred breath? Father, blow through this room. Let your ruach, let your spirit blow through this room. And breathe strength on your champions. Breathe strength on your champions. Show them, God, that you never stopped. Show them, God, that silent period of 40, that's gone, that you've been speaking and continued to speak. And even to John in Revelation, you said to him who has an ear, let him hear, to every one of those churches, all seven churches. That means you're still speaking, you're going to continue to speak, and your spirit, your breath is still moving today. It's still moving on the earth. Your voice is still speaking, and our ears are open. We are listening. 1, 2, 3, eyes on me. Yeah, I'm listening, God. Every day I'm listening. I'm hearing. I want to hear your voice. I pray right now that they could hear your words as you're beckoning them to return to you. I ask you to return to God. I ask you to respond to the call. In Revelations, he identified one church that needed some shifts and changes. And what he said to him is, he said, be zealous and repent. I pray you don't put it off till tomorrow. I pray if you need to shift, if you need to return to God, if you need to repent, say repent means return. If you need to return to God, I pray you return to God today. I pray you're zealous about it. Don't put it off. Don't delay, because then you won't do it. Just say, God, I need you. Just right now, wherever you are, just start to talk to him real soft. Just tell him, I need you. I want to be close to you. I want to return to you. I want all that you have for me. I want to stand in your victory. And every moment I'm on this earth, I want your breath and life to fill me. Oh, God, I pray right now you just breathe on champions all over this room. And I just want to ask you, as before we pray this prayer, if you're here and you say, well, I don't know that I'm born again. You need to ask for forgiveness today and enter that relationship. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want that strength. It's as simple as asking him to forgive your sins. And as he forgives you, he washes all your sins. But he doesn't leave you empty. It's like he empties all of the sins. He washes you of your sins. Then he fills you with the power of his Holy Spirit. So if you get emptied and you don't get filled, then you get filled with the bad stuff. But I ask today that God will not only empty, and not only will you be washed, but that you get filled, that you get wrapped with his love. So I ask you just to pray this prayer all over. And would you pray this prayer? I don't want anyone to feel uncomfortable anywhere around the room. Would you all pray this prayer, even if you're forgiven, even if you know you're born again? Would you just pray this prayer all over the room and just say, Father, forgive my sins. Wash me. I do believe that Jesus died for me. I believe that you raised him from the dead and that he's seated at your right hand. I ask you to fill me with your spirit. Breathe on me every day. Speak to me every day. I am a victorious one. I'm more than a conqueror. And I will declare your good news. Huh? Now I want to pray for you. Father, I pray. Now just maybe you want to lift a hand, receive, however you receive, but I just want you just to open up right now. Father, breathe fresh through this room. Let your breath breathe fresh. I was baptized with the Holy Spirit once, but there's new baptisms. And I got baptized in the Jordan a few months ago and about got knocked on my backside. I'm glad I was in water. It was powerful. I'm just asking you now, Holy Spirit, fill them fresh. Fill them fresh. New baptisms. Just breathe through this place. Fill them with strength. Fill them with strength. Let your wind blow through this room. Let your sacred breath blow through this place. He even calls his angels winds. Sometimes I just physically feel wind just go right by. It's like, God, just release your angels. Release your ministering angels as well. Holy Spirit, we recognize you and we bless you. And I thank you. And I pray that you not only fill them with strength, but you fill them with joy during this time. In Jesus' mighty name. And somebody in the house said, amen. Amen. Love you. Come on, let's give it up for our champion. Come on, I'd be happy if that was for me. Let's give it up for Jesus. Jesus. Oh.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.